Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is July the 15th, 2016. It's a Friday afternoon, another hot day here in North Carolina as we head into the weekend. Today is another one of those open forum news days where I will just be going over a couple of items of news and, of course, providing my analysis of whatever it is that we are looking at. But also, the lines are open for you to share any kind of news that you would like to share. If you think there's something that we need to be made aware of, then please, by all means, give us a call. Let me give out the telephone numbers. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit star 6 and 1 once you're dialed in to signal me that you would like to be brought on air. You can also reach us by the Skype studio line, which is 704-951-5030. You can also hit us up by using our Skype handle, which is Black Talk Radio Network, or you can use the conference line web-based flash phone, which is right there on the website for you. All right, so again, this is going to be an hour or more of news and commentary here. I'm just going to go real quickly over the headlines before we get into the details. The National Convention of the Oppressed kicked off this week in Cleveland. It started yesterday. I think it runs for through the weekend, actually. When it comes to systemic racism, we ask too much of police, according to Hillary Clinton. Cornel West, who is also attending and speaking at the National Convention of the Oppressed this week, penned an article that says Obama has failed victims of racism and police brutality. You may have seen Rudy Giuliani on Fox News or whatever state propaganda outlet is your favorite that you like watching, but you may have seen him on there blaming black folks for police terrorism. Well, Rudy Giuliani law firm was paid big money to lobby for major prison corporation. Activist Erica Gardner, that's the daughter of murdered NYPD victim Eric Gardner, his daughter is now a activist, and she says she was railroaded by ABC News. Y'all may have seen, and I think we may have played some comments from yesterday, but ABC News had a town hall meeting, and Obama was present. But there is some other things that is part of this story that I would like to highlight. Also, in the wake of the attacks in Nice, France, well, I shouldn't say attacks. It was only, according to the press, one attacker. I just feel some kind of way about the targeting of civilians. I think it's wrong, and I will share my thoughts on that. 80 or more people were killed and many more injured after a man allegedly rammed a truck into a crowd of people gathered for a national holiday and then started shooting at the civilians. However, very few want to discuss France's and other NATO countries' arming of so-called Islamic rebels to overthrow the secular government of Syria, which has created blowback and chaos. That's what we call these sort of attacks when they are in retaliation for foreign policy. France also participated in backing so-called Islamic rebels in Libya to topple its secular government. And, of course, we know it's pretty much run by jihadists right now. But they did that because Libya was leading efforts to establish a united African currency backed by gold, which would bring many former African French colonies off the French franc and push them towards economic independence. And France didn't like that. And we know this. Why? Because Hillary Clinton had a secret server. People hacked into it and what have you. And we got that information. All right. So let's start off by taking a look at this story about the National Convention of the Oppressed last week. And the week prior, we had two individuals come on who are in attendance. Malik Zulu Shabazz, we interviewed him last Friday, I believe it was last Friday, about this upcoming event. So Cleveland, this is occurring in Cleveland. Right ahead of the Republican National Convention. Again, the title of this convention is the National Convention of the Oppressed. It's also being referred to as a counter convention to the Republican National Convention. So I'm just going to go ahead and play this video of different people in attendance stating their reasoning for participating. But let me say this right off. I'm disappointed that and the media could be giving us false numbers. I don't know. I don't know that. But with that said, it appears that a very small number of people in the Cleveland area actually turned out to this event. I think I saw a report of about 75 people, and they have some nationally known speakers who are participating in this event. From Boyce Watkins to Lamont Hill. Again, Mr. Shabazz also speaking. A number of black scholars, grassroots scholars, and they had all these workshops going on in the area of finance and other people activity areas as well. So I'm just kind of disappointed that more people did not turn out to this event. But let me go ahead and play this video. Again, this is the National Convention of the Oppressed.
The first reason is that I'm from Ohio. The second reason that I told the Tamir Rice family I will come here. And the third thing is the word called Donald Trump. Me personally, I think that he is running a racist campaign. I feel that that us as people, all this police brutality, situations going across this country, we're concerned as African Americans.
Pretty much I want an awareness of, you know, what's going on. As you know, there's a lot of talk about the presidential nominee, Trump, and how we feel that there's a lot of hostility that's coming to the convention with him being the nominee. And I think that we need to, you know, really focus on what are we doing as far as safety for, you know, the people that participated in it. What are we doing for the safety of our children when it comes to human trafficking? And what are we going to do with the community policing that we need at this convention?
Yeah, I have a lot of concerns. This rhetoric that Mr. Trump has been spewing for months. At first, I think everyone thought it was funny, even the media, and there was encouragement because no one spoke against it, no one stopped him, and he is now the presumptive Republican nominee. I'm very concerned as an African American living in this city that someone may come here and try to disrupt our peaceful process.
All right, so that's the video. This is posted on cleveland.com. You can find the article posted to the Black Talk Radio Network Facebook page. You'll find it there. The entire article again. I'm just disappointed that more people did not turn out, but it will be going on through the weekend. So if you are in the Cleveland area, please think about turning out. All right, please think about turning out. You can just Google the National Convention of the Oppressed, and you can get the address to the church. I'm not sure if everything is going to be centered at the Second Ebenezer Baptist Church in Cleveland. I think they may have some street events planned, but please turn out if you are in the Cleveland area. Again, they are focusing on national politics, civil rights, and human rights, talking about issues related specifically to what Cleveland people living in Cleveland and Ohio in general are facing, such as limited economic opportunity, poor public schools, and of course, police terrorism. You know, that's where Tamir Rice got gunned down by Timothy Lohman within 2 seconds of making contact of the young boy. All right. So now, don't take my next comments as criticism of anything, because, you know, it's not meant to be criticism. It's just an observation. And I shared this observation, as well as I would call it a concern, with Mr. Malik Zulu Shabazz when he was on our program a week ago or so, about a week ago. And my concern is that black folks is focusing so much on Donald Trump that we may be taking our eye off of the most vicious, racist white woman on the planet. And of course, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton. Don't get me wrong. Donald Trump's a pig. He's just, you know, his history of racism and other things that he has, unsavory things that he has done, you know, it's for anybody to find out. But let's make no mistake. Hillary Clinton has worked in politics all her life, and as a result, she is more responsible for harm to black people, not just here in the United States through modern day slavery, the increase of the enslavement of black people in this country, but also black people all over the planet, as you know, I'll talk about later in concerning Libya. That there was a couple of black towns, predominantly black towns in Libya, like Tawerga, and they're ghost towns now. Nobody knows what happened to all these black people that lived in Libya. And the Obama administration, primarily through Susan Rice and Hillary Clinton, told a whole bunch of lies about what was going on inside of Libya, and specifically used a racist stereotype to say that Gaddafi had hired African mercenaries and given them Viagra and given them permission to rape all these women. And on a side note, the new IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Forces chief rabbi, has given Israeli soldiers permission to rape Palestinian women. That's something I shared also on Black Talk Radio Network. But let's make no mistake, Hillary Clinton is, I feel, the number one threat to black people in this country. See, with a Donald Trump, you're not gonna let your guard down. You're gonna be vigilant all throughout his 4 years in office, if he gets in there, you know. But I feel, because so many black people have voted for Hillary Clinton, so many prominent showcase black people have endorsed Hillary Clinton, including, you know, mothers of dead children and what have you. And so my thinking is that people will not be as alert as they should be. You know, I prefer my racism out in the open. I don't like codified racists, okay? Codified racists are very, very, very dangerous people, very dangerous, because you don't always see it coming. But, you know, it's just, it boggles my mind that so many black people could just be so dismissive of this woman's past, which would be a good segue into what she said recently. And there's a video on Ruptly.tv. Hillary Clinton said, when it comes to systemic racism, we ask too much of the police. That's coming from Hillary Clinton. Now, they do have a video, so let's make sure that this headline is not taken what she said out of context, even though, you know, if she said what she said, what they are saying she said, because they got it in quotations, then that should be a wake-up call to you Hillary Clinton supporters, you black Hillary Clinton supporters. All right, so let's go ahead and play this video, see what Hillary Clinton says. And I think this is in a, looks like House of Representatives or something. I'm not sure. It is in a government building.
Five police officers killed by a sniper targeting white police. There is too much violence and hate in our country. Too little trust and common ground. It can feel impossible to have the conversations we need to have to fix what's broken. To those who say Black Lives Matter, too many Black Americans, especially young men, feel like their lives are disposable and they worry every single day about what might happen. They have every reason to feel that way, and it's absolutely unacceptable. Everyone in America, everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. David Brown, the Dallas police chief, said that when it comes to overcoming systemic racism and so many other problems in society, we ask too much of the police and too little of everyone else.
Okay, so see, that's why it's good to get context. So Hillary Clinton's repeating what the black police chief in Dallas said, that we're asking too much of him when it comes to systemic racism. I don't think we're asking enough, because as has been widely reported, and nobody is disputing, one of those Dallas police officers has ties to white supremacists, okay? With his white supremacist, he wasn't even a ghost skin, as we talked about the 2006 FBI report that talked about ghost skins in the white supremacist community, meaning that they don't get tattoos and things of that nature, where they can be readily identified as believing in white supremacist ideology, and they're able to infiltrate law enforcement at all levels and you know, do the things that racists do. So this guy, Lauren, I think his name was Lauren Andrews, something like that. Anyway, he had white supremacist tattoos on his body. He, on his Facebook page, he had liked white supremacist pages. He had white supremacist images on his page. So I guess the Dallas Police Department don't monitor the pages of the social media pages of their own officers. Do you think that's too much to ask? that they monitor the pages? Because I have been seeing stories from other police departments who seem to, I don't know if they're monitoring the pages of their officers. They're probably not. But when they get reports of other people who come across their pages and then they call the police department and make a complaint, and we've seen some of these officers get fired. More recently, I'm reminded of one of these white racist officers threatening a black child. And he got fired, but he should have been charged. He should have been charged with a crime. So I stand corrected. Hillary Clinton's still a racist, though. But she picked up on that line. She feels the same way, or else she wouldn't be stating it. That we're requiring too much of the police, or we're asking too much of the police when it comes to systemic racism. See, that Dallas police chief down there, I think he's trying to make up for what his son did, because his son killed a cop. They say that his son was hopped up, was all high and stuff on angel dust or some kind of dangerous drug or something, and I guess they blaming it on that. But a few years ago, he killed a man and then killed the police officer who responded. I think that Dallas police chief is just trying to show white people how sorry he is for what his son did. And so anyway, I don't think it's too much that you clear these racist white supremacists out of these police departments. I mean, the 2006 FBI report said that it's a national security threat, and we have heard of no follow-up since that 2006 report. None whatsoever. None. There's been no task force created, special task force to infiltrate these police departments as undercover FBI agents and try to find out which one of the cops is racist and all of that. We're not seeing that in the police departments themselves, or getting somebody from IAB in there undercover and trying to identify these ghost-skinned racists in these police departments. I don't think that's asking too much. I think they are obligated to weed these racists out. If anything, we're not asking that they do enough. So Hillary Clinton is in agreement with the Dallas police chief, who says that when it comes to systemic racism, we ask too much of the police. That's just crazy. That's just nonsense. It just makes no logical sense whatsoever. If he is not up for the job, or any police chief or the federal government is not up for the job of clearing these racists out of these police departments, then guess what? Ain't nothing gonna change. Ain't nothing going to change. Not a thing. Nothing is going to change. And so for anybody to even come out of their mouth like that, it's just stupid. Now, again, as I stated, the Obama administration, since that 2006 report, of course, Obama didn't come into office until 2008, but that report had been out there since 2006, and they, from what I've been reading, actually started looking at this in 2004. Okay, and so since the report came out in 2006. It's been 10 years. It's 2016. Have y'all heard anybody doing any follow-up? Was there ever any congressional hearings on this? Was there a task force set up to study this further or to do something about it? No. And the only white supremacists that are getting busted in these police departments are the ones who send racist text messages, and then, you know, an individual within the department would turn them in, or news media organizations had sued to get police department communications and uncovered, you know, this kind of stuff. But for the most part, they ain't trying to weed these racists out of the police department. Why? Because police departments started off as that cop police chief from Missouri said, it started out as an extension of white supremacy. And ain't nothing changed in hundreds of years, so, you know. But anyway, there's been nothing done. No further talk about this. I haven't heard this being brought up by anyone, including activists. I haven't heard any activists, you know, that gets an audience with Barack Obama. I haven't heard, to be honest with you, Black Lives Matter talking about it. I haven't heard the NAACP bringing it up. I haven't heard... I haven't heard Urban League, none of these organizations. I don't hear any of them bringing up. And this is probably the most important element of police terrorism. So, Cornel West, who again is attending this convention, this National Convention of the Oppressed, which kicked off yesterday in Cleveland, wrote an article that was published in The Guardian. And it is titled, Obama Has Failed Victims of Racism and Police Brutality. The president and his cheerleaders refuse to engage deeply with systemic problems facing our country that came back to haunt America last week. So, again, I mean, man, I couldn't have followed it up with anything better. You got this police chief and Hillary Clinton talking about, oh, we asking too much of police to address systemic problems. You know, problems facing our country and all this and that. And so Cornel West is right. Let me read this. It's not terribly long. Let me just go through some of the points. A long and deep legacy of white supremacy has always arrested the development of U.S. democracy. We either hit it on the head or when it comes back to haunt us. That's why we either hit it head on or it comes back to haunt us. That's why a few of us have pressed the president for 7 years not to ignore issues of poverty, police abuse, mass unemployment. Barack Obama said it very well following the shootings of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, that some communities have been forgotten by all of us. And now in Dallas, Baton Rouge, Falcon Heights, and beyond, this legacy comes back to haunt the whole country. Obama and his cheerleaders should take responsibility for being so reluctant to engage with these issues. And he's right. He's bringing up these issues, him and Tavis Smiley, and all we heard from a lot of people, a lot of black people. Oh, they just Obama haters and all this and that. You know, not even trying to address the issue that they bringing up or whether or not what they're bringing up has any merit whatsoever. No attempt to look at the data and all this and that, you know. But when these comments are made, when it's not talking about the CEO of USA Inc., then they acknowledge them. But, you know, but when they got their presidents back, you know, they trying to act like it don't exist. These problems don't exist. So Obama, or they'll make excuses. All right. And everybody got excuses. Obama and his cheerleaders should take responsibility for being so reluctant to engage with these issues. It's not a question of interest group or constituencies. Unfortunately, for so much of the Obama administration, it's been a question of, I'm not the president of black people. I'm the president of everyone. But this is a question of justice. It's about being concerned about racism and police brutality. I have deep empathy for brothers and sisters who are shot in the police force. I also have profound empathy for people of color who are shot by the police. I have always believed deliberate killing to be a crime against humanity. Yet, Obama didn't go to Baton Rouge. He didn't go to Minneapolis. He flew over their heads to go to Dallas. You can't do that. His fundamental concern was to speak to the police. That was his priority. When he references the Black Lives Matter movement, it's to speak to the police. But the people who are struggling have a different perspective. The very notion that Dallas is the paragon of policing is something that needs to be interrogated. The Dallas mayor said, "We have done nothing wrong. But look at your history. Ask people in southern Dallas about the police. Ask Clinton Allen, an unarmed black man fatally shot by Dallas police in 2013. I was with his mother, Colette Flanagan, the founder of Mothers Against Police Brutality last year. Countless people came up and told us about all the struggles black communities are having with the Dallas police. Unfortunately, Obama thrives on being in the middle. He has no backbone to fight for justice. He likes to be above the fray. But for those of us who are in the fray, there is a different sensibility. You have to choose which side you're on, and he doesn't want to do that. Fundamentally, he's not a love warrior. He's a polished professional. Martin Luther King Jr., Adam Clayton Powell Jr., and Ella Baker, they were warriors. Obama's attitude is that of a neoliberal, and they rarely have solidarity with poor and working people. Whatever solidarity he does offer is just lip service to suffering, but he never makes it a priority to end that suffering. Obama has power right now to enact the recommendations made after Ferguson: better training, independent civilian oversight boards, body cameras. But he has not used executive orders to push any of these changes through. This November, we need change. We are tied in a choice between Trump, who would be a neo-fascist catastrophe, and Clinton, a neoliberal disaster. That's why I am supporting Jill Stein. I am with her, the only progressive woman in the race, because we've got to get beyond this lockjaw situation. I have a deep love for my brother Bernie Sanders, but I disagree with him on Hillary Clinton. I don't think she will be an quote-unquote outstanding president. Her militarism makes the world a less safe place. Clinton policies of the 1990s generated inequality, mass incarceration, privatization of schools, and Wall Street domination. There is also a sense that the Clinton policies helped produce the right-wing populism that we're seeing now in the country. And we think she's going to come to the rescue. That's not going to happen. The American empire is in deep spiritual decline and cultural decay. The levels of wealth inequality and environmental degradation is grotesque. The correct response to this is tell the truth about what is going on. Bear witness, be willing to go to jail to fight for justice if need be. When the system is declining, it can bring despair. That's why Black Lives Matter and all other young people of all colors who are mobilizing is a beautiful thing. We are having a moral and spiritual awakening that gives us democratic hope. It's not about having hope, but being hope. It's time to move from being spectators to being actors. So that is an article that was penned by Cornel West, titled "Obama Has Failed Victims of Racism and Police Brutality," that is published in The Guardian. That's at theguardian.com. Going to take a station identification break, and then we'll come back and hit some of these other news stories. I'll take a look at the conference line, see if we have anybody that has any commentary or questions. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News, broadcasting on the number one network, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. We'll be back.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Again, today is Friday, July the 15th, 2016. And again, just some follow-up. You know, again, I hear people all the time make excuses. Oh, the Republicans blocked this, and the Republicans blocked that, and the Republicans hate him, and he can't do this, he can't do that. That's a damn lie. That's coming from people who are either liars or they don't understand how the executive branch works. Now, of course, in order to push through laws, all right, you need Congress. There's no question about that. Congress has to introduce the legislation. They got to debate it. Then they call a vote. If it passes, then it goes to the Senate, or, you know, if it originated in the Senate, it goes to the House. And then if it passes both houses of Congress, it goes to the president to either veto it or to sign it into law. All right, that's true. We understand that part of the how legislative measures get passed into law. I understand that. But again, I also understand that the chief executive officer of the executive branch of the United States government has power of the executive order. He also has power of purse strings in terms of who's going to get money that has been set aside or allocated to go to these police departments so that they will carry out policies of the federal government. There's no independence of these police departments from the federal government. Just get that out your mind right now. All right. They depend on a lot of federal money from taxpayers in order to carry out their main mission, which is to keep non-white people in check and to make sure that the prison plantations are full. That's their number one mission. Or to generate revenue for the state through ticket writing. That's their number one damn job. That's what they do more than anything. So I challenge anyone to dispute that fact. But again, President Obama has executive authority that he refuses to use in terms of the drug war, all right, which he has acknowledged in so many words to be a complete failure, as well as acknowledging as a young man he used drugs. But when he was asked to, as the chief executive officer of the executive branch, to remove cannabis from the DEA scheduled list of dangerous drugs, which he has already on the record stated that he doesn't think cannabis is any more dangerous than alcohol, which he also uses that substance too. But yet, when he was pressed to issue an executive order to remove cannabis from that scheduled list of drugs, and to get the federal government out of the prohibition of cannabis, he said no. He said, if y'all want it removed, pass some legislation. So again, I don't want to hear any damn excuses other than he's just a freaking coward, or he is an agent for white supremacy. He's a proxy racist, and he was not elected or selected, whichever you prefer, to bring relief to black people, non-white people. He was not elected to bring relief to the poor. He was not elected or selected to confront racism and white supremacy. So just, you know, we can accept that, but I don't want to hear any excuses. He has free will. I have free will. You have free will. Do you let other people dominate your free will and make you do things that you don't want to do? Do you? I don't. That's weak. That's weakness. That's a sign of weakness. So let's just admit it. Let's not make excuses. Let's not say, oh, you know, white people are the boss of him, even though that may be true. But that's still no excuse. He has free will. He could have issued that executive order. He could block grants going to these police departments that refuse to comply with his 21st Century Policing Task Force recommendations. Talked about it yesterday with the Color of Change calling on him to start blocking these grants to these police departments. And he said, you know, well, that's something we could look at as a carrot and stick and measure and whatnot. Look, this dude ain't got that long left in office. I don't expect him to do anything. It's too late now. It's too late. I mean, of course, he could issue executive orders, but the next person that comes in office could repeal those, I imagine. Or issue another executive order that makes that one null and void. So I'm tired of excuses, man. I'm tired of excuses. I have not on the scale or on the level that he's at, but there's been times where I could have went along with racism and white supremacy and advanced because of it in the corporate world, but I chose not to. I used my free will to practice justice and help a black woman who was being sexually harassed by the vice president of the company. I'm not special. I'm not extraordinarily courageous or anything like that. When I knew that, you know, I was putting my job at risk, didn't stop me. But anybody who seeks to off these higher offices, especially a black person, you know, you could be killed at any time, assassinated at any time. So I don't even want to hear that as an excuse as, oh, you know, if he do something, then to confront racism and white supremacy, they gonna kill him. And look, man, he ain't been doing nothing but supporting racism and white supremacy, and they've been letting people run up in the White House anyway. So if I'm gonna die, I might as well die for something. Standing up as a man instead of on my knees at the feet of the freaking white supremacy. I just don't understand. Let me move on. I didn't mean to get stuck on that, but I mean, man, but Cornel West is exactly right. And to close it out, in the last year of her life, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing said, it's time Obama do something about racism and white supremacy in his last year in office. Well, he only got, what, 7-8 more months to go? We'll see. But I'm not looking for anything. All right, so let's move on. Rudy Giuliani, every time I see him in the news, it's cause of something negative he done said about black people. The last thing I heard him say is that black people, the black community needs to teach its children how to respect police officers and what have you. All right, just cause protesters out there cussing out police and whatnot, and they're in within their right to cuss them. Hey, free speech, First Amendment, free speech, cuss them out. They ain't got to play nice with terrorists and what have you out there in the streets. But we do teach our children, for the most part, that when they're moving behind these enemy lines, how to survive these encounters. And some people, they don't follow those recommendations, but I don't hear him saying that to white people. And we got white men killing cops more than anyone in this country. But I don't hear anybody saying they must be taught how white men need to be taught to respect the police or anything like that. But Giuliani frequently targets the black community. From what I've heard from people who live through his administration when he was the new NYC mayor. They blatant racist. So he's been railing against Black Lives Matter. What else is new? Let me share this article with you from the New York Daily News, written by one Greg Smith. He said, as Rudy Giuliani, he says, exclusive, Rudy Giuliani's law firm paid big money to lobby for major prison corporations. As Rudy Giuliani his law firm reaps tens of thousands of dollars lobbying Congress for the biggest operator of private prisons in America. In January, the former Law and Order mayor left his longtime firm, Giuliani and Bracewell, and jumped to Greenberg Tarik, a major lobbyist law firm with dozens of deep pocket clients. One client is a subsidiary. Give me just a moment. I don't know why New York Daily News like to lock up like this, man. The browser is always busy. Y'all want people to read your website, man. You got to make it user-friendly. Give me just a second. Giuliani's law firm is currently fighting a law that would... All right, let me back up, go up some more. One client is a subsidiary of the Correction Corporation of America, the Nashville-based for-profit firm that runs or manages 77 prisons housing 88,500 inmates across the U.S. Giuliani's law firm is currently fighting a law that would bar the government from hiring private contractors like CCA to run prisons. Now, he's not mentioning what law that they're talking about, but it's quite possible they might be talking about the bill that Bernie Sanders and this other representative from Texas had introduced to abolish private prisons and jails in the United States, and saying that, you know, justice should not be for sale. Anyway, this is all a part of that modern day slavery that the United States never stopped practicing. The company has been repeatedly criticized for putting profit ahead of rehabilitation by cutting costs and hiding information on how it operates. It took in $1.8 billion in revenue last year. I'm telling y'all, man, slavery has always been profitable. And if y'all think that them racist crackers back in 1865 was going to eliminate this cash cow, man, you just ain't studied history. And I'm going to have to remember to bring up the Corwin Amendment next week on a program that Lincoln was more than prepared to sign. Actually, he did sign it into law, and it actually constitutionalized and legalized slavery prior to the Civil War. But it was never ratified by the required number of states. That's what the original Corwin, I think they was calling it the original 13th Amendment. And if somebody was to ratify this thing would be, you know, an amendment. But again, the trick came in with the 13th Amendment when it said that slavery and involuntary servitude shall be abolished except as punishment for crime. And who they always looking to target with new laws to make up new crimes to put people back into slavery. Black people, of course. Getting back to this article. Disclosure forms. Give me just a second. Disclosure forms show CCA has spent more than $11 million on lobbyists over the last decade to press Congress and the executive branch on a variety of pet issues. From 2013 through March, a subsidiary, CCA of Tennessee, LLC, has paid Greenberg Tarik, that's Giuliani's new law firm, $350,000 to monitor issues pertaining to the construction and management of privately operated prisons and detention facilities. Giuliani joined the firm on January 19 as a senior advisor to the executive chairman and as chairman of the firm's cybersecurity, privacy, and crisis management practice. In the first quarter of 2016, CCA paid his firm $20,000. Records for the second quarter have yet to be filed. The firm is now involved in trying to kill a bill called the Justice is Not for Sale Act, said CCA spokesman Jonathan Burns. You could go read the rest of this article. I have shared it with you on Black Talk Radio Network's Facebook page. And so I assume that that's what they were talking about, that bill, which we talked about earlier this week or on New Abolitionist Radio, and saying, you know, Bernie Sanders, he introduced this bill. But yet, he didn't push it during the debates with Hillary Clinton. He did not press her on this issue. Hillary Clinton was only pressed on this issue by, guess who? Black Lives Matter. In fact, I sent a tweet to when I heard about they were going to be meeting with Hillary Clinton. I sent a tweet to Delray McKesson, and I asked him to ask her about all the private prison lobbyist money that she was taking in her campaign, and the private prison lobbyists working for her campaign. And he actually did ask her. And what did she say? Oh, I'll end private prisons. That's all she said. We haven't heard anything else yet. We ain't heard no plan. We ain't heard her talk about the Justice is Not for Sale Act. We ain't heard her say nothing else about private prisons. Wonder why. Woman is nothing but a liar. So anyway, that's why you see Rudy Giuliani always pushing the law and order crowd to demonize black folks and you know, to be on the side of law enforcement. No objective opinion whatsoever, because guess what? He's a modern day enslaver profiting from slavery in this country right now. So not surprised whatsoever. Again, man, slavery was never abolished. Why do you think they would willingly get rid of one of the main economic pillars underpinning this country, man? They still practicing it. I was reading another article, and I forget how many billions they say the entire private prison industry took in last year, but it was an astronomical figure, but I'm not going to give it because I don't recall it right now, and I don't want to understate it, and I don't want to overstate it. But we know from this article, CCA made $1.9 billion. I've closed the article, but that's a lot of damn money. That's your taxpayer money. And then most of it is tax free. They don't even pay taxes on it. I was reading that in an article today that I shared on New Abolitionist Radio's Facebook page, because they have come up with this scheme to where they are. Looks like the damn computer's locking up again. Give me just a second. All right, so it looks like they're using a loophole for real estate companies that allow them to get out of paying taxes. I'm not so sure about the CCA, but I do know the GEO Group. Let me see. I do know that the GEO Group is registered as a real estate company, because we listen in on their quarterly calls, and you know, that's how they portray themselves as a real estate company. But they're a private prison company, a human trafficking company, a modern day slavery company. That's what they are. All right, so we're going to take another station identification break. I'm gonna kick some music by Sincere Noquari, who is a friend of and supporter of the network, while I try to straighten out these issues that's going on with my equipment. It's always something, I tell you. So stay tuned. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. I like to remind people that we do not take grants from the federal or state government. Although we're a registered North Carolina-based nonprofit, we don't apply for grants from these corporations and these other nonprofits and whatnot. This is in our platform, and our work is entirely funded by listeners. All right, so please consider making a donation today to our crowdfunding Black Media campaign. You can find out more information on the website blacktalkradionetwork.com or the website blacktalkmediaproject.org. I'll be right back.
On this relief, brothers and sisters, you can see many concepts where they came in, as I said, like scavengers, and picked different pieces. On this particular relief, you can see where the Western world, through Judaism, took a piece of a concept of the creation story from. You can see where the Greek philosophers took a concept of Greek philosophy from. And you can also see where Christianity took a concept, European Christianity took a concept from. So let's break it down. fashioning man on the potter's wheel out of clay. This is where Judaism took a portion of this to make up their Genesis story with the Sanhedrins around 250 BC. From this relief right here of God fashioning man and woman on the potter's wheel. And they took other concepts of Atum from Heliopolis' creation story or the city of On to make up their Adam as a man, when actually it was Atum the son.
This service is provided in high definition by free conference call HD.com.
This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
All right, welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Sorry again for that hiccup. Got disconnected from the conference line, so y'all didn't miss much, I hope. I'm back in there now. Again, you know, got to deal with these issues. Technology doesn't always work like it's supposed to work. So thank you for hanging in there with us. All right, so I was last talking about Rudy Giuliani's law firm being paid big money to lobby for major prison corporation CCA to try to prevent the passage of the Justice Is Not For Sale Act, which would abolish private prisons and jails in this country and get rid of them in under 2 years. You can find the text of that bill online. Just Google Justice Is Not For Sale Act. All right. So next story I want to jump to concerns Eric Gardner's daughter, Erica Gardner, who is a activist now out there fighting for to make Black Lives Matter. All right. Fighting against police terrorism and whatnot. And she was saying now that she was railroaded by ABC News. ABC News had this televised town hall conference and what have you. And, you know, while those things are good in terms of getting out information, if you have someone like that police chief who was not afraid to point out that racism and white supremacy and the Ku Klux Klan and all them white supremacist groups have infiltrated with law enforcement. In fact, he said that they've been in it since the beginning. All right. So, you know, but a lot of times, man, these things are for entertainment. They're entertainment based. And I don't think anything is going to be solved by going on CNN or any of these other networks and talking about the issue. No, we need to be talking to lawmakers, not political pundits on TV. Let's not do that. But President Obama was in attendance in this at this one. So activist Eric Gardner says she believes she was used for ratings by ABC News, and she stormed out of the taping of the presidential town hall hosted by the network Thursday. Which, on a side note, let me just bring to your mind, and we reported it on other programs. There was a town hall that was hosted by PBS in Charleston, South Carolina. Max Parthas, who is my new abolitionist comrade, a host and producer of New Abolitionist Radio, attended. He was not on the panel to speak, but there was a Black Lives Matter representative for Charleston who was scheduled to speak. I don't want to butcher the young man's African name. I need to practice, you know, speaking these names since I grew up speaking English all the time and never learned another language to my shame or whatnot. My sister did, but I didn't. But anyway, I don't want to butcher his name. But the brother has been on the network in the past, and you know, I've seen him on CNN speaking truth to power. I think he was speaking truth to power to one of these black hosts on MSNBC, and I think Mark Morial of the Urban League was on there, and they was trying to clown the young man, act like he was ignorant, didn't know what he was talking about and all this and that. But the young man stood firm, put out the right information, and you know, towards the end of his broadcast, he said, "All power to the people." All right, so he was supposed to be a part of that PBS town hall special. He was supposed to be on the panel. At the last minute, they replaced him with somebody else. So again, a lot of these things are staged to begin with. They just do it for ratings. So they ain't looking to solve no problems. Anyway, In an interview with BuzzFeed News, Erica Gardner said the agreement with ABC News was that she'll get to ask a question about the Justice Department's investigation into her father's death, something the network refused. So, you know, we always got to be liars, just like they trying to say Philando Castile's fiance is lying about what occurred. And we always got to be liars, man. Why would she lie about that? Why would she act the way that she acted? She was upset. She did get emotional and whatnot. But, you know, she's only human. But they lied to her. And then they want to accuse her of being a liar. Why would she say this? Why would she just make this up? Don't make no sense. She said, that was the agreement before I called my brothers and sisters and before we got on the train to head to D.C. to do the town hall, she said. She added that she was particularly annoyed because she cleared her schedule to come to Washington amid planning for the 2-year anniversary of her father's death. So here we going on 2 years, and the Department of Justice is dragging his damn heels. I mean, what do you need, man? You got the video. Why it taking 2 years, Loretta Lynch? Why is he taking 2 years, Department of Justice? So it'll fade from people's memories and whatnot. For when you, as you do in 95% of the time, say, oh, no civil rights were violated and we cleared the officer of any wrongdoing. 2 years, man. 2 years. It took him 2 years to tell us that George Zimmerman didn't violate Trayvon Martin's civil rights. It's crazy, man. Eric Gardner died in 2014 on Staten Island after a New York police officer put him in what has been described as a chokehold. It was a damn chokehold. Described as one. His comment during the struggle, I can't breathe, became a rallying cry for the demonstrations that followed. I'm doing a march, Erica Gardner said. I could have done a whole different thing with my day other than come to D.C. based on a lie. Ashley Kershaw, an attendee of the town hall, described a tense atmosphere in the 150-person seat theater as Garner exited the stage and began screaming within earshot of the president. It was uncomfortable. People were looking around, and you could definitely hear her screaming, Kershaw said. The president shifted in his chair for a second, but you could tell he was trying to ignore it. Well, he's pretty damn good at ignoring black people, so. It wasn't her intention to embarrass the president, Erica Gardner said, but she had to be belligerent just to be heard. In a private moment with Obama, she asked about the federal investigation into her father's death, she said. He did acknowledge what happened to her father, she said. It showed me that he's human and see what's going on, but still, it wasn't enough. I felt like my voice didn't matter in that conversation. So, anyway, ABC News, of course, is disputing what she said. And she was also angered by another development. The network sat her next to family members of officers Wenjane Liu and Rafael Ramos, who were killed in an ambush after a grand jury decided not to indict Daniel Panatello, the officer who applied the chokehold immediately before Eric Garner's death. She said she was not comfortable with that decision. The producer said they thought that I knew, Erica Gardner said. She said, I don't have nothing against them personally, but they tried to tie it to my dad, and I don't think it had anything to do with my father. All right, so Patrice Kohlers, a co-founder of the Black Lives Matter Network, said the ordeal at the town hall taping was symptomatic of a lack of progress under the nation's first black president. See, she had her back, man. She didn't throw her under the bus or talk bad about her or anything. Like, she just said, hey, this is business as usual in this system and what have you. So you can read the rest of that article. It's very, very long. But let me find the part that kind of stood out to me. Too much talk and not enough action from the president, Kohler said. The movement has been meeting with him for years, and yet we haven't seen an improvement for black lives. It's time the president commits to taking executive action and defund law enforcement agencies that continue to violate the civil and human rights of black people. Let me see. I'll leave it there. It's got a whole bunch more if you want to check it out, the rest of the article. And she's exactly right. That's why I just got through talking about. There are executive actions that this man could take if he was truly interested in confronting racism and white supremacy and police terrorism at these police departments. But he's not. It's mostly talk. See, it's against, but everybody, that's all y'all say. Most of the criticism about Black Lives Matter, that's all they doing is talking. You know, talking and marching and blah, blah, blah. Was y'all saying that about Dr. King, that y'all praise him, you know, universally right now? And he should be praised. Or was y'all saying that all they were doing is talking and marching? That's a tactic. If you don't understand that tactic, then, you know, you just don't understand it. But, but that's all I've seen from these people who level these criticisms at Black Lives Matter, and come to find out they doing more than talking. They actually been meeting behind these doors, confronting these racists in these police departments face to face. Just cause you ain't seeing it on TV don't mean that it ain't going on. And they just told you they've been meeting with President Obama for years now, and ain't nothing happening. They've been talking, because I was on a conference call that The Color of Change hosted, and they had what many people think is going to be Hillary Clinton's vice president, and that's Senator Cory Booker. And he kind of like was on there pushing Hillary Clinton. I didn't like that too much. But he wasn't really addressing the problem. You know, he talked about the reform packages and stuff they had in there. But that, you know. And then he quickly got off the call. So Black Lives Matter network, movement, whatever you want to call it, has been doing a lot of stuff that you just ain't privy to. So, but I thought it was interesting that they said that they've been meeting with him for years. And all we do is get talk and no action. So check out that article. Again, it's posted on our website, on our Facebook page, Black Talk Radio News. Now, I'm going to take another break. Then when I come back, I want to talk about this main topic. I penned a piece today, just a little, you know, post. Nothing major, wasn't a major article or nothing, but why I think deliberately targeting civilians is wrong in the wake of this mass loss of life in France. And I just don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. And I think that's what these Western governments want. They want these lone gunmen. They want these lone attackers and what have you. They want it. In fact, they might be freaking facilitating it. How many times we've learned that, oh, they was watching somebody, but then they took them off the watch list, and then that person commits an act that causes, you know, a bunch of casualties and all of that, you know. How many times we heard that? So I do believe they do want these things. I mean, you have to read history. It ain't about no conspiracy theories. It's about conspiracy facts. So I'm going to take a break, kick some music from Sincere Noquari. Please check him out at sincerenoquari.com. This is a track called Don't Let the Church Shoes Fool Ya. All right, we'll be back on the other side to talk about this main issue that I would like to discuss. And listening to Black Talk Radio News, part of the number one platform and radio network that's providing you with new black media for the new millennium.
Sincere Noquari. Don't let the church shoes fool you, man. You know what I mean? You understand? We'll be right back. man. You understand?
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Do want to let you know that you can subscribe to all the programs, whether they are on this particular station, Black Talk Radio Network, or if they are the independent black radio stations that broadcast through our platforms, if they post their podcasts or upcoming programs on our network, you can get those delivered straight to your email. Just go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. On the right-hand side, you will see a little box where you can enter your email address, and you can get Black Talk Radio Network content delivered to you daily. So take advantage of that. All right, this is something that I was thinking about, you know, when I heard about the – because I heard late. I think I was on air or doing some work. I don't watch too much TV. I do monitor the news and what have you. So I didn't even know about, you know, the attacks had occurred. But then I found out late last night, and I, you know, was thinking about it and what have you. And then I was thinking about it some more today as I read about how many victims it was. And I will just, you know, I just don't care to see all these civilians being killed, man. That is just not right. So this is what I wrote. I said, while civilians may not care or even know what their government is doing, I don't condone attacks on civilians. If you want to target someone in retaliation for attacks on your people, country, or community, avoid civilian casualties as much as possible. Even Bin Laden said that attacks against women and children are not acceptable when they were blaming him for 9/11, and he said he had nothing to do with the attack. But of course, you did not hear that in the state propaganda outlets who, without question, published the lies of the Bush administration. We should also consider that even though the American people rose up and said no arms shipments and funding of Syrian rebels, the Obama administration has been doing it anyway, which kind of shows us that we live under a dictatorship. Not a dictatorship in that there is one supreme leader, but a dictatorship consisting of many government officials who go against the will of the people. The French government did the same thing, ignoring the will of the French people to stay out of Syria. I believe some of these attacks are indeed false flags, but it's hard to determine which ones. But anyone can see that attacks on the civilian populations have not resulted in the West changing its policies. In fact, they invite these attacks because it makes it easier to sell their bullshit wars and global military aggression. So I don't know if many of you remember, but in 2003, when the French government started deploying warships to that region and talking about, you know, attacking Syria and all this and that, there was a large public opposition to them getting involved in that. But these people, you may so-called elect them, select them, whatever. All right. They get in there. They do what the hell they want to do. They make all these promises that sound good and whatnot. But once they get in there, they do what the hell they want to do. All right. And so the French people did say, stay out of Syria. Stop it. We don't want you, our government, involved in that. So we need to take these things in consideration before we say, you know, like somebody deserved it because of what the French government is doing. Hell, you know, you might end up being attacked or killed because of what the U.S. government is doing. Because you could travel overseas and, you know, somebody find out that you are an American, they may kill you because of what America is doing all over the world. Are you going to say you deserve it just because you are, quote unquote, citizen of the United States of America Incorporated? No, you don't deserve that. We ain't in control of President Obama. We ain't in control of the CIA who's funding ISIS. We ain't in control of the Pentagon, which is funding and arming the other Syrian rebels, although I don't make no distinction between the two. You know, we are not in control of that. So why is it right to target us? It's not right to target the civilian on the street for what the government is doing. I just can't find any justification. Now, if we want to talk about spiritual laws and what have you, or universal laws, I do believe in the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing means I sowed a seed or planted a seed in the ground, all right? And then I'm going to reap whatever it is that I planted in the ground, whatever it is that I sowed. And so the United States government, the UK, the French government, and their NATO allies have been sowing seeds of violence all over the planet nonstop. The French government had no justification to participate in the overthrow of Libya. Gaddafi was actually hunting down them Islamic terrorists. And we know from Hillary Clinton's secret email server that got hacked, we know that she discussed in an email with the president of France and him giving his reasoning to her about, you know, them creating this African currency backed by gold, which would liberate all of those, and we say former colonies, but if you are an African nation and you using French currency, you still colonized. I'm sorry. If you're not in control of even your own currency, of your own finances, you are still colonized. And Gaddafi was trying to help them come out from under that colonization and to lift all boats in Africa with this African currency backed by the gold dinar. That's why the French government went in and destroyed it. Now, they planted all them seeds of violence in Libya. And now it's resulting in blowback. Whether it is some of these terrorists coming from Libya and going into Europe committing acts of terror with U.S.-made weapons, or whether it is some individual who doesn't know that ISIS or whatnot was actually, the Pentagon talked about creating ISIS in 2012. Look it up. This is not a conspiracy theory. These are facts. They don't get shared on the corporate media, but the Pentagon published a paper talking about, I can't recall if they actually gave it its name, or they were just talking about creating another Al-Qaeda-like organization, like they, you know, most people should know that they created Al-Qaeda to oppose the Russians in Afghanistan back in the 80s and what have you. So I do not rejoice in death, period, whether it's the death of my enemies or it's the death of my friends. I don't rejoice in death. I'm not like Hillary Clinton. I don't laugh when, you know, people I may not like get killed. It is what it is. No cause for celebration, no cause for a party or anything like that. I don't revel in death. But I do know that you cannot be going around the world with no regard for civilian casualties like the United States, like the French government, like the UK. Who knows how many people they have died in Iraq as a result of George Bush's lies. Who knows how many people have died as a result. And I'm talking about civilians have been murdered as a result of what they did to Libya. Who knows? Hey, the civilian casualties in Syria, that's on the U.S. government. They the ones who've been pushing. I mean, that was on Bush's kill list, was to kill Syria. He had Iraq on there. I think he had North Korea. I think he had Syria. He's calling it the Axis of Evil or something like that. So they've been planning, you know, they plan these things out sometimes decades in advance. So any civilian casualties, anything, all of that you can lay at the feet of U.S. foreign policy. Why in the hell are these Western countries going into secular countries, not Islamic countries, but secular countries like Syria, like Libya was, but it's a, I heard now they're over there introducing Sharia law in Libya now. These were secular governments, man, that respected everybody's freedom of religion. Christians had protected status under Saddam. You practice whatever religion you wanted to in Libya. Because these are secular governments. So what sense does it make to use Islamic terrorists to overthrow these governments? Well, it makes a lot of sense if your goal is to perpetrate perpetual violence on the planet, because you're profiting from that as well. War is profitable. Many people depend on, just like they depend on modern day slavery for jobs and what have you, so do a lot of people working in the defense industry. If there's no war, then they're going to have to start laying people off. Because the army isn't using up its ammunition, so they don't need to replenish it and what have you. This is perpetual chaos, man, that they are spreading. And many, many citizens in these countries speak out against them. So how can anyone justify targeting civilians? It's just wrong in my book. Maybe there's just no getting around that spiritual law. And unfortunately, the people that's reaping the violence aren't the ones who sowed the seeds. It was their government that sowed them seeds. So, you know, I just feel empathy for these victims. And, you know, why I don't really shed tears over stuff like this, I'm still troubled. I'm still troubled by that. And I just know that we cannot, as you know, the human race, man, we can't keep tolerating these individuals in these corporations and in government to continue to terrorize the whole damn planet. It causes blowback. And I haven't heard anyone talking about this. The only politician I've, you know, Bernie Sanders brought it up during the debates about, you know, he didn't really talk about blowback, so I'm not even going to use him as an example. But he did say we had to stop all these wars that we keep creating and whatnot. But Ron Paul, the former congressman, a Republican out of Texas, he's retired now. He has, for as far as I can remember, has always spoken out against this stuff and talk about the concept of blowback. But they always clown him. People always clowning at him. You know, you get distracted with the accusations of racism and stuff like that without even investigating if whether or not this man is telling you the truth. So anyway, I just want to revisit. I think this is from the 2008, could be the 2012 Republican debates where Ron Paul is talking about blowback. Let me cue that up for you.
Have you ever read about the reasons they attacked us?
We were not attacked because of our actions.
They attack us because we've been over there.
They want to kill us because of who we are and what we stand for.
We're there occupying their land. And if we think that we can do that and not have retaliation, we're kidding ourselves.
That kind of isolationism, sir, is what caused World War II.
That's an extraordinary statement of someone who lived through the attack of September 11th. That we invited the attack.
I believe very sincerely that the CIA is correct when they teach and talk about blowback.
Blowback does not mean simply the unintended consequences of foreign operations. It means the unintended consequences of foreign operations that were deliberately kept secret from the American public, so that when the retaliation comes, the American public is not able to put it in context, to put cause and effect together, that they come up with questions like, why do they hate us?
Have you ever read about...
And so you heard, I forgot that guy's name, they had Santorum, that was Santorum talking about, and we heard it from George Bush too, oh, they hate us because of who we are. Well, that might be true when you're a damn terrorist. You know, and you're terrorizing people and you're killing everybody on the dang on planet. Yeah, they would hate you because of who you are, a racist white supremacist. Were they supposed to love you? But that's all nonsense, man. That ain't even logical. Why would somebody else want to attack me because I'm free? Okay? The reason we getting attacked in the United States, and I'm talking about the black community, by these racist police terrorists, is because they want to take our freedom. And they might hate that, you know, we have a little bit, you know, more freedom than what we had prior. So I don't know. It could be blowback from that as well. But no, this man is telling the truth. The CIA, that you, the last man you heard speaking, worked for the CIA. And he told you. See, when they attack you, these pundits and TV paid propagandists and like Dave calls them, celebrity figureheads working in government, they give you every reason except the real reason. Just like Omar Mateen, he said that he did what he did. Again, I'm not justifying what he did, but he said he did what he did because they bombing Afghanistan, his homeland. Oh, everybody glossed over that. Oh, all of a sudden it's all about gun control and it's too many guns on the streets and why do people need AR-15s and blah, blah, blah. Everything except for the fact that he said the reason he gave that he did what he did. Nobody won't talk about it. Nobody's bringing it up. Just like nobody's bringing it up now. Just like how they don't want to talk about why Sergeant Micah Johnson did what he did in killing those cops in Dallas. He said because, you know, of racism and white supremacy. He was upset about the recent killings of black men, the extrajudicial murder of black men. He got angry about it, and so he did what he did. So let's not, you know, paint people as being deranged or crazy or whatever when they tell you why they do what they do. Nobody wants to address it. They just want to lie to you so they can keep doing what they're doing. Nobody in France, in the French government right now, is saying, you know what, maybe we need to rethink our participation in the overthrow of Syria's government. Maybe, you know, we ought to apologize and pay reparations to the victims in Libya that we participated in overthrowing their government and turning it into a terrorist playground. Maybe we ought not be doing stuff like that. But no, what did they do? Well, they just intensified bombing in Syria. That's what they did. Tell you, man, they're putting your life at risk. And again, I'm not saying that we have, I don't know, I don't want to be a pessimist, but we ain't in control of this government. None of the populations are in control of their governments. None of them. So I don't know, as we march towards what looks like a major confrontation with China and Russia, because, you know, NATO wants to terrorize Russia now and wants to prevent China from challenging the United States for global military supremacy or economic supremacy. We are not in control. I was reading an article yesterday. I shared it on my personal Facebook page, where they were talking about this coming war or preparation for war with China and Russia and whatnot. And they were saying in there that they were going to mix up these divisions, mix up the nationality of, I think it was 4 or 5 battalions. Battalion is not a lot of people. I think a battalion, if I can remember my days in the military, is something like 1,100 troops, something like that. I think it's a battalion made up of different companies and what have you. And they said that they were going to spread them out over these 4 different regions along the Russian border, and they were going to use them basically as cannon fodder to get them killed, because they know those battalions would not be able to stop if the Russians really did want to invade those countries or respond to the aggression towards them, that those battalions would not stop. Will be able to stop them. But what they, and I can't believe, man, I don't know how this document got out, but they were talking about, you know, then that would cause, if we get all these soldiers killed, then that would cause everybody to unite against Russia, which it ain't gonna be just against Russia, okay? China got their back. And I was like, look at here, man. They talking about sacrificing your sons and daughters as a freaking tripwire. Tell me again why anyone should go in the United States military. I forbid my daughters from going in there. I just simply told them the truth and showed them the video of the murder after they raped her, of Lavina Johnson, PFC Lavina Johnson, who was murdered in Iraq by fellow soldiers or a military contractor, civilian contractor. So, tell you, man, we live in a very, 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 very bad place, man. We really do, man. People need to wake up, because I think it can only get worse. So, that's all I have for you today. Oh, it looks like we do have a caller. Glad I checked the board before I got ready to close out. Area code 561. Thank you for calling in. Go ahead with your question or comment. Area code 561. Your line is unmuted. Okay, so I guess they changed their mind. That's okay. All right.
Q&A queue is cleared.
All right, so coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time today, Tando Radio Show. Brother Dave may be late, and I may have to start the show for him, as he asked me to. But we'll be taking a look at Gaddafi as a leader, as a Pan-Africanist leader. There's a video documentary about Gaddafi that they want to share. Don't believe them lies that you keep hearing. Even Bernie Sanders was telling that lie, talking about Gaddafi was a brutal dictator and all this. And nothing but lies. Nothing but lies, all right? Anyway, so Make sure y'all stay tuned for Tando Radio Show. Again, subscribe to the RSS feed so you can get updates by email of when we have upcoming programs and other content is posted to the network. Again, if you go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, you will see a box that says subscribe to content via email. Just enter your email address, hit the subscribe button, and you'll start getting it delivered to your address immediately. All right. Also, check out some of the other independent black radio stations on our network. If you are interested in starting your own independent media platform, by all means, get in touch with us through the Black Talk Media Project. We can build a multimedia platform where you can upload your podcasts, MP3s, videos, whatnot, even radio stream, run a radio station. We can build that for you. We can build it for you, teach you how to manage the website and what have you for a very low price. So definitely get in touch with us through the Black Talk Media Project. The website is blacktalkmediaproject.org. If you think that black radio stations matter, and not just black radio stations, but independent, truly independent black radio stations matter, please consider making a donation to our crowdfunding black media campaign. Again, you can find that information on blacktalkradionetwork.com as well as blacktalkmediaproject.org. With that said, be safe out there. Always be on alert, man. Keep your head on a swivel, because anything could happen at any time, man. Don't get caught unawares out there, like I seen those three young men up in Virginia who was smoking weed in the car and singing while they were streaming themselves on Facebook, and then somebody came along and shot them up. Thankfully, you know, I there was no fatalities, but still, you live behind enemy lines, man. There are plenty of people out there who mean to do you harm, so you have to always be on alert. You always got to have battlefield awareness. Don't become an easy casualty. Don't make it easy for them to make a slave out of you either. So with that said, peace and blessings to all. I will be back Monday with another broadcast of Black Talk Radio News. Peace.